Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joined by Clive Willows, who's a clinical psychologist at Clive and Jill Willows Clinical Psychologist, for an all-important discussion regarding the psychology behind gender-based violence. We seem to have a focus behavioral issue in South Africa where we look at gender-based violence during issues of children, women, but only at times of the year like now, Women's Month. And then we tend to forget about it, but this is an ongoing problem. Every 3 hours, a woman dies at the hands of a partner. Clive, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, and good evening to you and all the listeners.
Clive, help us to understand the psychology that you've described as short-focused behavior when it comes to gender-based violent crimes, and why it's only looked at certain times, and then people seem to forget about it.
Yeah, it's a very important question. We've got to accept that we are dealing with an issue that is very much prevalent in our society 365 days of the year. And right now, in terms of the numbers that are recorded, there is no indication that there's any decrease in the prevalence. Therefore, we need to be focusing far more intensely and far more regularly on this very real social evil.
Clive, I had a conversation the other day with Candace Mama. She's a lady that's overcome a lot of adversity in her life. And she said that we don't get to hear as much about what's happening with women and children because it's not something people like to talk about. And more importantly, it's not something you see in a lot of CSI initiatives by corporates and other organizations. They rather go after something like save the rhino, save the elephants. As much as we love animals and we want to see the rhino saved, we want to see the elephants saved, we want to see dolphins and whales in our oceans. This is a problem that is so close to home. South Africa is home to one of the most liberal constitutions in the world. We have women in very senior posts and a very representative parliament. But conversely, we have this high rate of femicide, this high rate of rape, and this massive rate of child abuse. How do we talk about it in a way that is conducive to dialogue without people not wanting to talk about it?
I think part of the problem is that it's a multifaceted problem in the sense that we could have long debates about what is the actual cause of such violence. And that's why it's so much easier for the authorities to focus on issues such as, well, let's just increase the sentence, let's make harsher punishments, let's have a march, let's say the right things. But really what is involved is a much more diligent and focused attempt to understand really why we have the prevalence that we do specifically within our country. We can look at economic factors, cultural factors, gender issues, but whatever we come up with, we are never going to easily define exactly what it is that causes usually men, obviously, to abuse women and children. Because whatever a reasoning or whatever understanding we can develop, there always seems to be some other factor, something that we can't quite understand that causes a particular person to behave in this way. And unfortunately, there's been a dearth of research on that specific area. What is it that really contributes to a person behaving in this particular way? And it's because we don't have the clarity of the research, we tend to make generalized statements that really may have any impact on change at all.
So Clive, we always speak about parents having the talk with their children, and that normally relates to sex education. When a child reaches a certain age, they talk about the proverbial birds and the bees. In America, very sadly, I read about the talk that mothers and fathers have with their children, specifically young black males. And that talk relates to the fact that those young black males need to understand that through racial profiling, they may be targeted and they need to at all times have their hands visible, obey commands, raise their hands so that they don't become a statistic in the ongoing racial violence that plagues America. Should we be having a similar talk in South Africa, not about sex education, not about the birds and the bees, but where we sit down our children, both boys and girls, and we talk to them about the scourge of GBV and what they can do not to become a statistic, and also for the boys to understand what is acceptable behavior and what is not acceptable behavior?
Absolutely, and I think that that could be of benefit, but we need to bear in mind that many of these children who grow up to be perpetrators of such abuse possibly come from dysfunctional families where that sort of communication doesn't happen. They may come from families in which violence is quite normative. They may come from families where there is an absent parental figure. And as much as your suggestion is absolutely probably desperately needed, my concern would be, but would parents actually do it? And from my own understanding of perpetrators, the actual intervention needs to occur even before one can engage with children at that age, because the actual intervention needs to occur within the first 3 years or the first 5 years of life. Why do I say this? I say it for three reasons. Firstly, that is the age at which we develop empathy in children, the capacity to understand other people's feelings, which is necessary later on in life. Secondly, that is the time in which we develop the child's sense of self-esteem. And we know that perpetrators generally have a poor self-esteem. And then thirdly, it is at the age where we first teach children about emotions and how to manage their emotions. And we do know with perpetrators of GBV, they have a limited control over their emotional expression. So they are easily provoked, easily angered, and act out aggressively. So those three factors, the empathy, the self-esteem, and the capacity to manage emotions, those characteristics are developed within the first 5 years of life and need proper nurturing.